when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Hello, everybody. This is episode 20. This is a treat for everybody. Anatomy of a Team. And we're going to talk to some real guys that have a team in the Eastern Washington, Spokane area. And I've talked to these guys, Shelby and I have in advance, and these guys have got it. They've figured this out. I mean, they've really done a good job. And what they've come up with and is going to help you guys forming teams, mutual assistance groups, neighborhood associations. We're going to just use the word team like that. So they're going to be on in a moment. Shelby, tell folks how they can help Prepping 2.0 get out to a wider audience. And it doesn't even cost them any money.
No, not at all. We have some great ways, first of all, that you can connect with us. If you go to our website at prepping2-0.com, you can listen to our show there. You can also click on to all the other ways you can listen to us. Subscribe, rate, download in your favorite way that you want to. All of that helps us just continue to grow. It makes the little algorithm calculator go a little crazy, and we like that. Appreciate it. If you want to give us feedback, you can go to our author pages for Glenn. That is 299days.com. And if you sign up for the newsletter there, you'll that's a great way to get a hold of Glenn's email address. Don't recommend you try to email him because the guy gets really busy. If you want to reach Glenn, honestly, you reach me first. I'm kind of and just say, hey, can you ask Glenn this question? And you know what I do. So you can reach me at agreatstate.com, sign up for my email list, and you'll then have my email. You'll also hear about through that newsletter all the things that we do. We're busy people. We have day jobs. We have all the commitments that people have, but we also go out and do things. The next big thing we have coming up, it's just in a few weeks, about a month or so, March 30th in Bremerton, Washington, at the Baymont Inn and Suites from 9 to 5. We will be at the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo, first one that we are aware of ever in the Western Washington half of the state, So, which is really cool. I want to talk about this just for about 5 seconds here. So many people just write off Western Washington because it's Seattle. Western Washington is not Seattle. Seattle is in Western Washington, but there's a huge prepper, freedom-loving, patriot-loving community on the western part of Washington. We're excited to connect with them at the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo.
Exactly. Well, now we do, this is the part of the show, yes, where we do our 1 out of 100 thing, and there's a list of 100 things that go quickest in a collapse, and it's based largely on what folks in Bosnia went through. And so we go through each one of them. We're on number 10. Shelby, what is the 10th thing? And these are things that people should have or have a plan to get or maybe want to barter for. This is anticlimactic. Go ahead. You got the lame one. I got a cool one a couple shows ago.
I
got can openers. Can openers, my favorite topic on earth. Oh, can openers are so cool. Anyway, why don't you talk about something else?
Well, I'm going to tease you with this one. And if you want to see the list, it's on our website, prepping2-0. You can see it on the bottom right. Number 10 is rice, beans, and wheat. Rice and beans, of course. Here's the thing. We don't stockpile wheat at our house. Why? Because we have a gluten-free person over here that if we were to stockpile wheat, we would put you into anaphylactic shock. So no, yeah, we do other grains. And that brings up a good point. We've talked about this before. People get honest when I talk about how we're gluten-free, and you kind of get written off because you're the gluten-free person in our household. You get written off as being this kind of weak soy boy, you know, suburban, urban, you know, picky eater kind of person. And you're actually not. You do get very sick. So you know what? You prep for your allergies. We will prep other things, just not wheat.
Yeah, gluten's an allergy, and I'm also allergic to weakness and cowardice. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's an allergy.
But people get kind of tease us about it. They tease you about it. And it's like, you know, no, it's a legit thing. No, yes, there's picky eaters out there, but no, seriously, you get sick. So we do other things that we prep for it as an alternative. So there you go. So now I'm excited to get to our topic. Go, Glenn.
Yeah, this is cool. We, Shelby and I, were at an expo a great expo in Sandpoint, Idaho. It's usually in late September. Look it up. It's the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo. And this guy comes up, and he's a reader. And I was like, oh, cool. And we were talking, and he said, hey, I have one of the 17th Irregular AR-15s made by Working Man's Armory. Would you sign it? And I was like, first of all, I got to tell you, I never thought anyone would read these books. I never thought they'd get published. And I'm continually amazed with all the neat things that happen from this, that I'm a humble guy. I didn't expect anyone to read these things. So when you have your own line of AR-15s and someone asks you to sign them, wow. I remember talking to him. I said, hey, this probably won't happen again, right? This is an unusual day. So we got to talk to him. And he said, yeah, me and my guys are from Spokane. We have this team. I started asking him, oh, okay, because this is a topic that people really care about out there. If you have a team, you want your team to be better and maybe be bigger, right? And you want to not have problems with your team. If you don't have a team, you want to figure out how to have one and how to go about doing it. Because I think everyone listening to Prepping 2.0 is a sophisticated prepper. And they understand that you can't do this on your own. They understand the value of community and the value of a team. I think that was well illustrated in 299 days and also a great state, because while it's not called a team, there's a de facto team in your books too. And it's called just neighbors, you know, helping each other. So I started listening to these guys and I thought, you know, wow, they'd be pretty interesting to have on a podcast. At this time, when I was talking to them back in September, we didn't have a podcast. We didn't even have an idea.
And we don't even have a podcast anymore. We have a radio show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, that's very true. The show. Yes, that's right. And so I said, you guys want to come on? And they were very kind and donated their time and said, yeah, we'd like to come on. So that's how I met these guys. And then go ahead, Shelby. We have some questions. Oh, let's go ahead and say, hey, guys, introduce yourself. How about Patrick first?
Hey guys, this is Patrick, Spokane area, and just glad to be on. Thanks for having us.
And Tosh, now of course there's a show on Comedy Central, Tosh 2.0, and you're Tosh and you're on Prepping 2.0, but you're not the Tosh 2.0 on Comedy Central. Is that right? Or are you Tosh 2.0 from Comedy Central?
We'll just leave it at that. Yeah. That was kind of a diabolical little laugh there. Wow. Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm going to jump right in here. And people ask us this all the time. We wanted to ask this of you. People hear about Glenn's team. They know that they train regularly. It's a group of guys that come together and train. And there's a trust that's developed there and all of those things. And then how do you meet? It's very difficult to find that group, a group of people that you can kind of, you can mend together and you can weave yourselves together and become this really tight group. How did you guys meet? We'd love to hear that story.
Well, I guess it was about 3 years ago. I was having TAC Response out to the Spokane area to do some training. And so
everyone knows that's James Yeager's Tactical Response, great gun training and medical training and a bunch of other stuff. So, and he only comes out when there's a pretty good group size group of guys. So good on you, by the way, for doing that. Just a plug for Tactical Response.
You know, yeah, they're definitely awesome. Their instructors are a lot of fun to work with. Great information. So we had I had a friend that I had met through some other people, and he invited Tosh out, and so we just really had a great relationship after that. You know, just off and on, talking a little here and there, and then Tosh got a hold of me. I guess it was about a year later. And said, "Hey, you want to interested in doing a book club? Well, we're doing a 299 days book club," and so I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. I've already read most of those books, but I'd love to go over them again and you know, get everybody's thoughts on it." So I invited a friend. He had a few people, and we just got together and started going over the books. Actually, that was kind of the catalyst of the whole thing.
I think it's interesting how 299 days was kind of entry drug.
yeah.
Gateway drug. Yes, that's right. It's like, yeah, the first hit's free.
Jeez. That's great. So what about you, Tosh? What are your thoughts on that? How would you add anything to that?
Tosh, you're on mute, dude.
All right, there we go.
There we go. Welcome.
Is that better?
Yes.
Rookie mistake right there.
Yeah.
So with that, yeah, the 299 days, I had actually originally read that book, the series, back in like 2014 is when I started out. And it was actually off of a recommendation from James Yeager from his YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. It's in my area. And read that book. And it was great. Really liked it. And so I originally got a first group of guys together for just a book club. That was it. We just wanted to read the book. It's a cool book. You know, what if situations. And then fast forward, nothing really came of that. Fast forward to TAC Response. Met Patrick. Met a bunch of other guys at TAC Response. You know, definitely, if you want to get to know cool guys, like, go where cool guys hang out. And it's at firearm training courses that are high quality. You are gonna meet some great people there. So met Patrick there, and I just was thinking a little bit more, like, man, you know, I would like to hang out with these guys, but you know, we kind of clicked on a couple other levels, and I knew that there was something more there than just we like going out and shooting. But I was super nervous to call Patrick, and Patrick had only heard the story just a few days ago. But I was sweating when I was going to call up Patrick and make these invites, because it sounds kind of sissy, you know, to call up another man and be like, "Hey, do you want to do a book club?" It sounds really goofy, and I was blown away. And he's just like, heck yeah. He's like, totally. That would be super cool. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I was really, really nervous. These guys are, you know, type A personalities. And I was, you know, waiting for him to say something to me. But yeah, that's kind of where we started out. And we started out with, you know, five or six guys. Oh, we started out with seven guys is what we started out with. That's technically that second book club. And we just kind of broke it down, and we did two books at a time. And, you know, so we met together, and we would spend probably about, I don't know, 2.5 hours, 3 hours on each one of these meetups. And yeah, it was great. That's how the initial core of guys got started right there.
That's awesome. And by the way, I just had an idea. There's something now that exists that didn't exist in the past, and that's PrepperNet.com. And they have meetups, and they have small groups. And here's an idea. Hey, everybody out there, because PrepperNet's all over the U.S., why don't you start up a book club? Seriously, I think this is a fantastic idea. I mean, we all kind of laugh because, you know, book clubs, it's usually like, you know, a bunch of women talking about like
Oprah's book club.
Exactly. Oprah's book club. And so it's not like that, but anyway, start a book club and get on PrepperNet, figure out people in your area, start a book club. And this is a great entree, as they say in France, to getting a team. And in the past, I would always say, hang out at gun stores, maybe your church, although that's often dicey. And then I just would throw up my hands and say, I don't know what. So get on PrepperNet and start a book club. There you go. I love it. Another way to do this. Well, here's a question for you guys, and take all the time you want on this, because this is going to be a meaty one. What do you guys do to train?
Well, we kind of try to focus our training around five different areas. It's shooting, movement, communication, medical, and then preparation. And just kind of covering most of the bases, honestly. But we do a ton of different things in all of those categories, because we don't want to be the one-trick pony and just go out and shoot, and that's all we do. We've done, a couple of us have gotten together and done the ham class and got our licenses. Matter of fact, a couple of our guys are doing that today. Yeah,
we got two guys that are getting their licenses today. So.
Yep. We do like hiking and land nav, which we did actually last weekend. At our training, we do once a month training. Bug out bags, get together and compare foods, and you know, taste each other's food preps that we have, and try to figure out what we like, what we don't. It's not really just a training group either. I mean, it's more of a and not just like teaching. It's a lot of times just sharing what has worked for each other and what hasn't. And so we all don't have that drawer full of regrets, you know, or at least the same drawer full of regrets.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we all have a boxes of regrets. That's for sure. Gear that's worked. But yeah, I mean, a lot of it is absolutely true. You know, we try to keep everything, and you can fit so much in, you know, movement, you know, from land nav, like Patrick was talking about, to cover drills with each other, you know, all the way through. And then shooting, of course, you know, it's really easy for teams or for groups, I think, to just get lost in that one trick pony, like Patrick was talking about, where they just turn into like a shooting organization and that's all they do. But there's a lot more to it. Communication, of course, huge. That's one area that, you know, a lot of people are weak in. I think that we're definitely weak in that, even though we're much further along than a lot of other people. You know, there's always more things, and we're always just trying to take what we did and up the ante on it and get better and get more proficient in some of those areas. And so it encompasses quite a bit, those move, shoot, communication, medical, and food storage or preparations.
Awesome. So you kind of answered this. I'm going to ask you a question, answer this, but just for specifics, because people want to know, how often do you guys meet, would you say? I mean, it sounds like it's a little bit fluid, but it's good to know.
So we do a couple different things. Ideally, and as a team or a club, it gets bigger and it is going to grow. We can talk about that a little bit later down, but it makes it hard to be able to meet together for trainings and different things like that. So we've just earmarked a certain weekend that works out for the majority. And as people come in, we just kind of present it as, this is what we do. And we just go from that. So this is when we meet. And this is typically, we meet from this time to this time. And we go from there. Other than that, we do have a bunch of other things that we'll meet up. You know, like we have a couple guys getting their ham license right now. So they've peeled off and they've grabbed, you know, two or three other guys, and they're taking them down with them and helping, you know, facilitate that. So we are constantly having little micro trainings that in some way, maybe Patrick and I aren't, you know, helping facilitate those or helping, you know, direct those. But other guys, you know, they're self-sufficient and they're self-starters, and they're, you know, constantly training and constantly doing other things on the side here or there.
Yeah, and I love how you said that trainings are at a specific time that works for the majority of people. And if somebody wants to be involved, we need to see you on Saturdays at 8 a.m. or something like that.
Correct.
And believe me, I've my team, we've gone about it the other way, and it just doesn't work. I mean, this has to be something, being on a team, and it's akin to having a job. Obviously, you know, it's not laborious or awful. I mean, it's really fun and all of that, and something you want to do. And not everybody wants to do that with their jobs. I happen to like my job quite a bit, but I mean, it's, I don't want to say a job, because people are going to import a bunch of stuff that they think about their job into that. But it's a serious undertaking that should be like a part-time job, and you should think of it that way. And of course, part of a job is you show up at a particular time. And I highly recommend that, because there's nothing more, I don't know, disheartening than being all fired up to be on this team, and then all you ever seem to do is talk on group texts about when the next time it is that you're going to meet is, right? That's disheartening. And so, and it's a buy-in thing too. I've noticed this with teams. If guys can't consistently be somewhere at the same time, and again, you kind of agree on what works for most people. I mean, there's no arbitrariness here. If they can't consistently make that time and date, I mean, well, what else are they going to let you down on? So,
oh, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. It's a good, and what are some other little, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It's absolutely true. One of my favorite quotes that has come out of this team, is something that we've kind of indoctrinated into our ideology and how we speak. But, you know, the quote is, a team is not a group of people who work together. A team is a group of people who trust each other. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to be on time. There has to be repercussions for guys who don't show up. And if they don't show up, well, then they're not part of the team, and they're never going to be part of the team because they don't commit to it. And people are going to come and go, but the guys who show up and they show up on time and they throw their heart into it. You're absolutely right, Glenn. Like it's disheartening if you don't have that happening, and you'll never go far. And if someone's going to be loosey goosey with their time and not take your time seriously, well, then you're absolutely right. What other things are they going to drop? And they're going to be much bigger, much more important things.
And you guys hit on something. I'm serious. This is unscripted. I mean, we gave you an idea of the questions we were going to ask, but it's like we worked this out in advance. But you use the word trust, mm-hmm. and that is the most important thing. I mean, if I had a choice between some amazing, you know, Green Beret dude who had all these skills and just won the lottery and was like handing out night vision, you know, fourth gen night vision to everybody.
Where's that guy?
I know. And, I know. And, but I didn't trust him, or worse yet, I had a reason not to trust him. There's two kinds of not trusting. One is I don't know the guy well enough to trust him, and I may end up trusting him. And then there's I can't trust this guy. I would rather have, I'm not even kidding. I would rather have a 60-year-old lady on my team who I could trust over some total cool guy operator with tons of gear that I barely know. And we're going to get into that a little bit more about the time it takes to get folks to trust you. Do you guys have any more thoughts on trust or showing up for stuff?
You know, one of the things that we have done is we have penalties for not showing up on time.
Oh my.
And, oh yeah, yep, we have absolutely. So, you know, as a team, you know, we get together, we've done PT, we've done things, and that's a hard thing. Nobody wants that.
And like, just so everyone knows, PT is physical training, which is like usually running or something like that.
Yeah, we'll form up, you know, and it's usually at the very beginning of training or something like that. And anyone who's late, they owe push-ups to the team because it was the team that they let down. So they, you know, they get caught up on their debt right then and there. And it's been funny because the guys at first, you know, they did it because, you know, when you're in a group of guys and you call somebody out, it's a little awkward. And then pretty soon it becomes natural where people start to realize, oh, there's consequences to the things that I do. Yeah. And if I don't like this, well, then I toe the line. And we do this in society, you know. And so we've just kind of pulled this into how the team works. And now it's kind of funny where if a guy, you know, doesn't give us proper heads up on, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it to this training or something like that. We, you know, if he's absence without leave or AWOL from the training and he hasn't cleared that with his fire team leader, well, then he owes the team push-ups the next time that we see him. And we get our push-ups. And so it's, you know, it's now if a guy is late, you know, everyone self-regulates each other. And that's a great thing.
And guys, I love it. We're going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break. So listen along. This is great stuff. So stay tuned.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Prepper Press is a small, independent publisher of survival nonfiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. At PrepperPress.com, you'll find a variety of books to guide you on your journey to prepare for a compromise to the electrical grid, natural disasters, economic collapse, political strife, or similar scenarios that could disrupt life as we know it. You'll also discover fictional yet believable stories about what happens to society when everything falls apart. To learn more, visit Prepper Press online at PrepperPress.com.
Hey everyone, are you a prepper who knows you need to have handheld radios for when you know what hits the fan, but you don't know anything about them? You don't want to learn complicated geek stuff or learn Morse code or all of that other useless information on a ham radio license test? You don't need another hobby and you don't need to buy things that you ultimately won't use. You just need to know how to use radios and which ones to get. Well, Ham Radio is for you. It's not ham radio, it's PAM radio, Prepper Amateur Radio. PAM, it's all the things preppers need to know to communicate on radios, but none of the stuff you don't need to know. PAM Radio is a series of easy flashcards for your phone or laptop that teach you what kind of radios to buy and how far you can talk on them, with or without a ham radio license in some cases. It's not a prep course for your ham radio tests, it's the practical stuff you need to know. Written by Glenn Tate, with input from members of the Special Operations Community, ham radio experts, and ham radio novices like you. These electronic flashcards will bring you up to speed so you can check radios off of your list of preps you need to take care of. PAM Radio is conveniently releasing in January 2019, so you can fulfill that ongoing New Year's resolution about getting up to speed on radios.
Hello, folks. Shelby Gallagher here, wanting to let you know about a great event coming up, the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo. It's on Saturday, March 30th at the Baymont Inn and Suites in Bremerton, Washington.
It's going to be great. This is Glenn Tate here. We're going to have John Jacob Schmidt speaking, Representative Matt Shea, simulcast on 1400 AM KITZ Radio. Look for us on Facebook, Puget Sound Preparedness Expo 2019. Come on out and see us.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher with Prepping 2.0, joined by our guests Tosh and Patrick, who are out of the Spokane, Eastern Washington area, and they have their own team, mutual assistance team. And we were just finishing up on the break about kind of how to keep the trust amongst team members going and writing people showing up on time and people showing their commitment through their actions. And so we talked about that, but now let's go over and talk about this. What special skills do dudes have? Dudes, listen to me. I'm talking like you guys. What special skills are on your team? What are special? Because we know this, we've talked about it. One person can't be good at everything. So, and the idea of a team is that you bring multiple skills together to create a better unit. So what are specific skills that you see that each members have that others don't have?
Like bow staff skills, most definitely. Gotta have bow staff skills. You know, everybody comes from different walks of life, and they have different experiences and things. And quite honestly, some of the guys, they're really into, you know, long range shooting or medical or comms. And the biggest thing that we kind of ask as is that everybody cross trains in those different things. They might not be super good, or they might not be really enthusiastic about, you know, going and getting, you know, a ham license and sitting down there and taking, you know, that test. But we just kind of ask that everyone just jumps in and they just embrace the overall topic of training in there. But there's a lot of the extended skills that, holy crap, Patrick, like how many skills are you looking at that you want to achieve personally?
Oh, geez, there's so many. I mean, just the basic five things. I mean, there's probably 20 permutations of each of those five things that we train on. Yeah, I'm always kind of trying to do something different. Like I picked up 3D printing recently as a way to possibly make, you know, parts in a collapse. If, you know, how am I going to make an extra part for a gear or a wind turbine or whatever the case may be? Just always trying to think outside the box of picking up a new skill here and there.
Yeah, well, one thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
One thing, and you guys touched on it, but I want to amplify on it, and that is comfort zones. You know, everybody has their comfort zones. I, and you can tell this from the book, and it's true in real life, I'm particularly good at what I call logistics and organizational stuff. I mean,
for example, we'll go out shooting on some Department of Natural Resources property, and you have to have a special parking permit, basically, or you get like a $200 fine. I'm the guy that always makes sure that everybody has their parking pass. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And my guys are cool about it. They don't joke about like the admin guy, but that's my comfort zone. Let me tell you what's not my comfort zone, and that would be being an armorer and taking guns apart and putting them back together. I mean, I can do it. I've taught myself, but it's hard for me. Mechanical reasoning's really, really hard for me, to be honest. And I've learned from my guys. So talk about comfort zones and how that can be, you know, this siren song of comfort that leads you to crash onto the rocks, right? And then what you guys do to like get yourselves out of comfort zones.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of tricky because when you, if you're the guy that is, you know, listening to this and going, you're like, heck yeah, I'm gonna put together a team. I'm gonna put together a club or something like that. You kind of have to be like the one man band in a lot of ways. You have to have that vision of all the things that this team or this group is going to accomplish. And sometimes when you get people together, like, you have to kind of spark that vision and you have to teach them things. But it's kind of a double-edged sword because pretty soon you start getting other guys in with other skills. And that team needs to be adaptable in some of those ways. You know, there's going to be things that are going to be really exciting to other guys that are not necessarily exciting to you, the organizer or the founder, like logistics. Like armoring, and you might look at that and go, man, I really don't know anything about that. You have to, as a team, be flexible to be able to offload some of those different skills to other guys as they come in. And if they're good at those things, everybody inside of the team needs a place. They need a job. They can't just be a nameless grunt.
A generalist. Everyone can't be a generalist. They need to be a generalist, but that can't be the only thing they do.
That can't be everyone needs to be able to find a niche in there. And if they don't have a niche, you know, it's the type of guy that will go, I want to learn this. I want to be good at this because maybe I didn't know about this, or maybe this is a skill that the team is lacking in and I can fill that niche. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to become an expert. I'm going to get classes. I'm going to get education upon this topic. Therefore, I can then bring it back to the team in those ways. And so, yeah, absolutely, Glenn, you're 100% right, is that everyone needs a general understanding. And that's why they send soldiers to basic and boot camp. They have a general understanding of how things work, but then they go off and they specialize in different things and they bring those together. And that's what makes a team, of being able to have guys that are very proficient in other areas. They can do other things, but that's important. And you need to be able to be secure enough in your leadership abilities to be able to recognize that you as the leader, pretty soon it's going to become bigger than you. And there's going to be other guys that are going to be able to lead in different ways and promote that and let that happen. And it'll be organic. It'll be much more organic.
You're so right. And there's a flip side to everything you said about everybody being cross-trained, and that is crutches. And we found on our team that we had one guy in particular who is a retired special operations medic. You want to talk about a guy who knows medical stuff? That you can't beat the guy's knowledge. And so we started relying too much on him. It was like, hey, blank, won't give you his name. Hey, I need a med kit. Make me a med kit. And we realized, actually, he, being a retired master sergeant, led this pretty well. He's like, you know what? That's a crutch, guys. And you all need to learn medical stuff, and you're relying too much on me. And I'm going to step back. I'm going to answer your questions, but you all need to do it. And we also had another guy who was comms amazingness. And that's one of the reasons I've started a lot of the ham radio stuff I'm doing, the PAM, the Prepper Amateur Radio, right, flashcards that we're still working on with developers. It's software stuff, and everybody's doing it as a second job and a volunteer, which I appreciate. But, I mean, you know, it's taken a while to do it. But anyway, one of the reasons I just jumped into comms, you want to talk about something out of my comfort zone, it was comms. And I said, all right then, I'm going to learn this. And so what happens is I end up saying, how am I going to teach my team all this comm stuff? And I said, I'm going to write it on index cards with a Sharpie. And then I talked to this coworker of mine who's like a 20-something guy. He goes, you know, he's tech savvy and I'm not. I mean, index cards and a Sharpie, by even saying that.
you're talking my language right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was some papyrus and a calligraphy pen. Anyway. And so then the idea of the flashcard sparks up. But my point is crutches. Tell us about crutches, if it's come up, if you've sort of got to the level where you've had to think about crutches and somebody stepping back and saying, you know, hey, I'm not going to be the guy all the time. Because the medic, for example, and this is based on a true story, some of the stuff he's dealt with, he said, what if the medic gets shot? You guys are in a bad situation.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's more than just cross training. It's like somebody else taking the medical flag and running with it. And by the way, it's really cool if you are extremely specialized in something, somebody else takes it away from you and you can then focus on other stuff. It's kind of like a rest, if you will. So talk
absolutely
about the crutch issue.
Do you want to start that off, Patrick?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we try to, one of the big things is Tosh and I try not to always be the one leading the training. And because we have such a diverse group of guys, I mean, like we had a pharmacist on the team and he came in and started doing a whole bunch of information on antibiotics and how, you know, how to use those and how to prep those and that kind of stuff. We actually brought in Dark Angel and we did a class with them. So we could, a good chunk of us could get really, really, really good training on medical. And So we try not to always rely on just Tosh and I, and we try to pump the guys up and say, hey, I want you to do this training, and so you can get better at it. Because I've always found that one of the best ways to learn something better is to try to teach it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the reasons I'm doing these flashcards, by the way. Very honestly, I've been very open. I'm saying, hey, I'm not an expert. I'm learning stuff, and if you're new to this, I'm the perfect person to teach you because I had to learn it too. I need to know what you need to know. I had to find the answers. And there's something really cool about putting on a class for your guys. I remember one of the first comms classes I gave my guys, and they're like, all we hear from Glenn is, you know, like he doesn't know anything about comms. And then, you know, I'm a lawyer. I present information for a living. I was like, all right, I can do this. I remember the first comms class, I started talking without notes for about 45 minutes. And, you know, strong work was the comment. And I was, yeah, right on. It was cool. It's good. It's very motivating. You know what I mean? But I put my all into it and it turned out well. And these guys got a lot out of it. And that's another benefit of cross training and all that other stuff. Shelby, you have a question.
So it's a question and a comment, and it's more of a comment actually. What I like is as I'm listening to you guys talk about the cross training and the supporting others and their training and all of that, it completely takes out the prepping 1.0, I think, aspect of prepping. It's like the cool factor. Oh, isn't that cool? I'm so cool because I can do this, or he's so cool. And it's kind of immature, I think, to be honest with you, when, oh, he's no good at something because he hasn't done what I've done or something like that. It's a level playing field. We all need to cross train. We all need to have knowledge in boring topics. Sometimes people think comms are boring. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think medical is boring. So it's, you know what? It's not going to be boring when it's a collapse.
Not boring when you need it.
Yeah. You need it, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate it because it's mature and it's an equalizer, and everyone needs to know stuff, whether it be boring or exciting topics. And tell me what you think about this. Shelby over here, finally, after I've wanted to do this for a long time, my life has been a little busy the last few years, you know, books and stuff and marriages and stuff. But I have wanted to do this for a while, so I don't want to give you the thought that I didn't want to do it, but finally got my handbook. I'm going to start. I'm studying for the test. I'm going to take it here in a month or so.
That's awesome.
So yeah. That's so great. So that sort of thing, but it's an equalizer and it's not a cool factor. But it also, what I've realized as I'm going through the book and going through questions and everything, it is kind of cool stuff. Even though others on the outside, oh, you're going to get your hand license and it's boring and it's silly. What, I don't care. It's actually kind of interesting. And I'm learning cool stuff. And you don't realize it's cool if unless you drop your kind of, you know, cool factor, whatever, and just look at it. It's good information. So what are your thoughts on that?
So a couple of things. I mean, you keep using this word mature, and my wife is going to be the first one to correct you and be like, we're nowhere close to mature. and if you could be a fly on the wall with some of our team meetings, you know, oh my goodness, you would not have much hope for society after some of our.
If you use the word mature, is what you're saying? Okay. Yes.
So, you know, but it is absolutely true where if you're cross training with each other, that is a big part of it. And guys being able to take on other parts of the training, there's so much more meaning to the training because they had to sweat and toil to be able to gather that information to submit it to the group. And there's so much more respect and there's so much more of an eager audience because they realize that in the next little bit, you know, they're presenting their item or, you know, they're going to want the same type of dedication from the rest of the guys to pay attention to their topic that they're going to be presenting upon. So I think it's definitely a winning proposition. One, it frees up Patrick and myself. I mean, everybody has a full-time job. And
that's a key fact. That is a key fact. Yeah. That'll be laced through what we talk about later. But that's one of the things. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when it comes to, you know, me or others, it's like, well, why can't you do X, Y, and Z? And then I remember everybody has a full-time job. Almost everybody has a family, you know, kids and all that other stuff. And that's not excuse time. That's reality time.
That's reality. And if they don't have, if they're like, oh, I got time, maybe that's not a person you want, you know, because if they're not somebody who's a member of society, who's contributing, who has significant things to lose, you know, they're somebody that I definitely am immediately worried about.
Interesting.
That's something.
The other reason to be worried about that person, I'm going to be half joking, half serious. If they have nothing else to do, that's because they're like an undercover cop. No, I'm just kidding.
Speak into the microphone a little closely. Yeah, absolutely. It's true. You know, those type of people that have, you know, they're not doing anything. Well, you know, I don't know if this is just a hobby for them or whatnot, but I want the people that have something to sacrifice. And that's why they're doing that, because they're putting something on the line because they have something to lose, and that's important. And so exactly. Definitely having that part. We had a training about a month or so ago where we had different segments to the training, and it made it really easy to organize. We had a hike, and we had a lunch outing, and we had food preparation, and we had a whole bunch of things listed, but each one of the guys, I just called them and said, hey, could you take care of this segment of it? And during that training, I was able to actually sit back and enjoy the training and learn things. And as a leader, as a logistics guy, I mean, it feels like you're running from left and right and back and forth and all sorts, trying to make sure everything works and everything, you know, goes off. And to be able to actually turn that over to the guys inside a fire team, that's important. And everyone needs to know that, hey, at some point they're going to be doing that, and they're prepped and prepared, because ultimately you've got to be the leader of your household. You got to be the leader of your neighborhood. And that's one of the big things of the group, is that you need to be prepared to do that.
Don't you guys find, go ahead.
You go ahead.
Don't you guys find that when you go from being this regular member of the general population to being either a leader on your team or a solid contributor, even a solid contributor on your team, don't you realize that your life is better? You've like become more of a, and I'm going to say it, you become more of a man. Now, if you have women on your team, you know, they're becoming more, they're a real woman, and they're becoming more of a real woman. So, I mean, it's just a quality of life thing. You're a better person. Don't you guys think?
Oh, wholeheartedly. I've always
absolutely
thought
I've always liked to learn as much as I can and be a sponge, and no matter what it, what topic it may be. And I always teach my kids. It's like, I encourage you to go out and do as many different things as you can try. You may not be good at them all, but just be able to have those skills and be just a better, well-rounded person altogether. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And let me jump in here. This is Shelby. As I raise my kids, and you tell me, I think it is a skill in and of itself, especially in this world of kind of pristine and passive and millennialism and all that comes with it is I want to teach my kids to always be curious and to seek out just that, trying new things. I think that is a skill that takes you far in the prepping movement. It takes you far in your survivability. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it makes you valuable. You know, when everybody wants the guy or the girl around them that has got skills, that knows things, and that they're willing to jump in and they're willing to do things. That's a skill that you have to learn and you have to build.
Absolutely. Well, we have about, let's see, about 6 more minutes until the end of the regular show. We're going to keep you for the after show, and there's going to be some good stuff. So here's a question that I think will take at least 6 minutes. Shelby, yes.
All right, here it is. So do you recruit or do you keep your groups closed? That's key. And then let me ask you that. If you can weave into that, just because I know people will ask, they ask me, women in your groups, just touch on that in your group, I should say. And what are your thoughts on that? And ready, set, go.
Sure. So women, we organize this as a men's only organization. And there's a couple reasons why. One, because as an organizer of this, I have a really hard time wrapping my brain around exactly how a woman thinks and why she thinks what she thinks and what's important to her. And I know this because my wife will remind me that I'm not thinking of the things correctly. And so that was one of the big reasons. Originally, when we started out with the book club, I knew that guys weren't going to open up and weren't going to really have those hard questions. They weren't going to answer them and go like, you know, what the heck do you do with the Todd Snellings, you know, in the 299 days book? You know, that's a topic of conversation. And men are going to think about those things amazingly different than women. And not to say that women's perspectives aren't valued, but the men are going to understand where the men are coming from, and the women are going to understand where the women are coming from so much more. And so when we organized out the book club, it was based upon that we want to do just men. And the dynamic worked really, really well. And so we continued it that way. On top of that, it made it really easy for the women in our lives, the moms and the wives and the girlfriends and whatnot from, you know, the different guys, to be able to go, you know what? He's out with the guys. I know that he's out with the guys. It's a men's only organization type of deal. So if we can make our lives easier in some way, shape, or form, that's definitely one of the ways that we've opted to go, and we've kept it that way.
Okay,
well,
good.
And on top of that, Tosh, if I could add just a quick
sure.
second, we felt that there's also just a big gap and of good, wholesome men's organizations out there. And so that's one of the huge things that we, you know, try to extend on each other, is just a good moral value and a good way for men to get together and be men, you know? And I think that's a big part of it for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. I love that. And so, but if you could also tell us, because this is what we get asked this most, the whole acquiring members.
Good question.
Do you guys recruit or do you keep a closed group? Yeah, that's important to people because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, trust, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So many, 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 many moons ago, I was involved in a state militia, and a lot of the success was measured upon how many people are showing up, you know, how many people are there. It's measured in quantity, not quality. And a lot of people are probably going to argue with me on that. But when you look across the sea and you see people who are vastly unprepared and they're really excited just because they had a huge turnout, you can really see the writing on the wall of what it was. That was one of the things that I completely got away from. And I really wanted quality instead of quantity. We wanted to have a tight-knit, small team of guys that were going to look out for each other and that they were going to honor their families and they were going to take care of their communities and look to that. And so one of the crazy things, though, is you go, great, we found a group of six guys, and these guys are awesome. I think it's really imaginative to think that that group is not going to actually get bigger. You know, there's going to be another guy who's going to move into your community or your church or your work or is going to get introduced to you, and you're going to go, holy cow, that guy is super awesome. I totally want to, he would totally fit in with these guys. Well, now you have an organization that doesn't allow that because you're a closed cell. And so we kind of recognized this early on and realized that we wanted to grow, but we wanted to grow in the right way. So how we accomplish that is we have tiers inside of our organization. If you are a member, you have rights. You have privileges as a member. You can vote on matters. You have a voice upon those matters. And you can be able to sponsor people to come into the group. That means that you have to put your name and your reputation on the line with the other men that value you and trust you. You have to put your name upon somebody else. And it's amazing to see all the guys that you may know, and you go, well, if I really have to put my name on it and I'm verbally putting my name on this guy, you will be very careful about your decisions.
And hey, I hate to interrupt. We're sure. At the end of segment two. We're going to come back in the after show on this awesome, awesome topic you're bringing up. Keep listening to the after show. If not, thank you for listening to the regular show. Say bye, Shelby.
Bye, everyone. Let me leave you with my favorite quote. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.